Welcome to the Digestible Dynamics Podcast, a podcast for the innovators from the experts. We know that you're busier than ever, and the last thing you need as a business applications innovator is a lengthy, drawn-out podcast where you walk away with the possibility of learning something new. Well, that's how the Digestible Dynamics Podcast is different. Each episode will contain one digestible tidbit about Dynamics 365 that you can immediately apply to your business. With the combined experience of 3 decades in the business application space, Dr. KJ and I understand that the power of technology is not about the features and functions, but rather the value it can bring to your business to help you transform and drive growth. That's why we'll focus on the most useful things that you need to know about the Dynamics 365 platform. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Digestible Dynamics Podcast, your number one source for snackable tidbits to help you maximize your Dynamics 365 experience. Before KJ and I recorded this episode with our guest around the M365 Copilot integration with Dynamics 365 solutions, I know it's a tongue twister, we were joking around about Copilot. As an employee of Microsoft, we have Copilot everywhere on our machines. We have them in Outlook, we have Copilot on our desktop, we have it in our Teams, and we have it within our browser. While it is everywhere, it is a game changer. KJ and I both use it every single day. Whether it's to find work-related content like a previously created presentation or an internal sales program, Copilot helps us navigate these issues exponentially faster. Then, from a productivity standpoint, having Copilot in both Outlook and Teams is equally revolutionary. We both use Copilot to summarize meetings we were a part of by using prompts like, what were the top concerns the customer had around Dynamics 365 sales? And what are the calls to action from this call on the Microsoft side? What are the calls to action from the customer side? Even if you're triple booked, Copilot for Microsoft 365 is a productivity fulcrum. Instead of re-listening to meetings, you can use these prompts, get brought up to speed that much faster in a matter of moments. That's why this episode we're going to talk about the Copilot for Microsoft 365 integration with Chris Stedman, who is the director of the go-to-market strategy and motions for business applications at Microsoft. Now, before we dive into the episode, let's learn more about Chris. Chris is a sales fanatic with over 3 decades of experience in sales, sales operations, sales coaching, and sales strategy. He lives for sales engagements and conversations. He is extremely passionate about the art of sales and the science of sales operations. Currently, as the director of the go-to-market strategy and motions for business applications at Microsoft, he focuses on seller excellence, customer experience, and sales programs and automation. He resides in the great state of Minnesota with his wife and 2 children. When he is not selling or coaching, he enjoys Minnesota, Vikings football, Arsenal soccer, poker, golf, and hanging out at the lake. Chris says he's happy to connect with you all on LinkedIn, so we'll link his profile in the show notes. Without further ado, let's talk about the Copilot for M365 integration with Dynamics 365 Solutions.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Digestible Dynamics. Today we have a very special guest, Chris Stedman. He's Microsoft's Worldwide Director of Readiness and Enablement for Dynamics 365, aka we call him the CRM Super Freak. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's great to be here. I am the CRM Super Freak, at least the Dynamics CRM Super Freak.
We love it. Well, let's jump right in for our listeners. Chris, my question is how can users take advantage of Dynamics 365 Copilot and M365 Copilot together?
Yeah. So obviously a lot going on with Copilots. Most of you are probably aware we started this journey like a year ago, right? Where it was Viva Sales and then it was Sales Copilot. And now it's Copilot for Sales. And really, the advantage that people get out of it and the benefits are kind of that better together story. It was like we would go to customers and we would say, hey, look at what Copilot can do in your M365 apps. You just open PowerPoint and say, build me a PowerPoint that looks like this and has these sections and trying to do that. And, you know, like people at companies would say, hey, this is cool. I get it. Like I go to Bing and ask a question. Have a have a, you know, natural conversation with what you really want instead of trying to query, show me pictures of a Lotus sports car that, you know, like you can just talk to it. And so it was pretty easy for people to understand that, that experience and kind of how transformative that is and how much easier it is to work with technology and get what you want out of data and technology using that. But they would say things like, hey, this is really cool. Can I use my CRM data to build a Word doc or a proposal or a PowerPoint or pull CRM data into Excel? Can Copilot do that? And we would say, no, but let us show you what we can do with CRM data in Copilot. And we can go into Outlook and say, capture this activity. Show me the CRM data that I have while I'm in Outlook so I don't have to go digging for it. I don't have to stop what I'm doing. And that's actually really important. We gloss over it a little bit, but think about that. Like, anytime you're doing something, stop what you're doing and jump applications, jump into Outlook or jump into Teams and just pay attention to what happens. There's a bright, shiny object. It's a new IM or a new email, or you jump into CRM and you're like, oh, I forgot about that opportunity, or I got to do this activity, and it just distracts you. And that's actually a real problem right now. We find that your productivity drops like 40 to 60% when you switch windows, switch applications. So if I'm a seller and I'm sitting in Outlook where every seller starts their day, right? Like, it's funny because we talk about, oh, you spend your day in CRM. No, they don't. We're sellers. I'm a seller. I don't spend even maybe 10% of my week is actually in CRM. So if I'm in Outlook and you can show me the data I want on the email I'm having, email exchange I'm having with a customer, or I can say, hey, build that customer in CRM with a click of a button, or attach this email to this opportunity with a click of a button, and I'm still in Outlook. Well, that's a massive productivity boost. And so then the customers would say, hey, that's cool. Totally understand the value of that. So now can I surface that CRM data into PowerPoint to make, and we would say, oh, well, actually you cannot. Oh, could you use CRM data and put it into Excel? Well, I mean, you can in a way, but not really the way you want to, right? And so it was kind of this, hey, we have co-pilots that do this stuff and we have co-pilots that do that stuff, but I want it all. And so now as a seller to take advantage of Copilot, it's like, you know, get rid of the stuff that isn't productive work. I say this all the time. Like, there's a reason I'm a salesperson and I'm not an accountant, right? Like, I'm not very good with numbers. I don't really like Excel. And a lot of people get mad when they hear me say that. But like, if you saw me work on Excel, it would look like the work of a kindergartner, right? Like, I don't even know how to do formulas in Excel very well. But using Copilot, I can say, hey, build me an Excel that does these things and use my CRM opportunity data and build this whole thing. Well, now I'm not clunking around. I'm not wasting time. It's the same idea for like, hey, build a customer in CRM. It's like, it's 2024, you guys. Why on earth am I entering someone's name and email into a CRM system? And when I go to do it, I lose my productivity. You know, like it's almost, when we actually talk about it in those terms, it's almost ridiculous what we're asking salespeople to do. And so it's the idea now is like, okay, I'm in email, click of a button. Not only have I added that customer to the system, but the system prompted me and said, hey, you know, Kenneth isn't in your CRM. You think you should add him? Well, yeah, I think I should.
Right.
But it only took one click of the button. Right. Yeah. And so if I can do all those things and go in and say, pull my CRM data into this application and let me use it while I'm working on this thing and not have to hunt and peck for it. You know, does that save you 15 minutes a day? Maybe 30 minutes a day? And if I saved every salesperson 15 to 30 minutes a day, could they call one more customer every week? And if every salesperson in my organization called one more customer a week, could that be four new customers a month and one extra sale? Well, if that's one extra sale per salesperson per month, we have easily overcome the cost and the investment of that solution, right? All of a sudden, we're really starting to see it. And then there's a variety of other benefits that come with it, like data capture and conversation intelligence and being able to listen back to my conversation easily and see, did I handle an objection right? Did I assuage their concerns about my competition, stuff like that. So when you ask me, you know, how can they take advantage of it? Those are just the things that come top of mind with the brand new product. So what's really exciting is like in a year or two, when we kind of really see where the value lies, where people are really starting to use it and where they come back to us and say, you know, what would be cool is if you could do blank. And then, you know, and then it really starts snowballing.
No, exactly. And so the way I sum that up, that was a great answer there, is I summed this up in productivity meets sales, and they merge together to do some great things, saving sellers time, saving sellers time, but also increasing, you know, sales overall for the company. And so like a quick follow-up there is like, from your experience, and you kind of alluded to it in your answer there, is like, how much time is this truly saving some of the customers that you've worked with? Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, I mean, and hey, like, let's be honest, you guys are sellers, right? And you're using Copilot too, right? I mean, so
yeah,
I like, you know, sometimes the results will vary across the board. There's some places that see an immediate improvement where it's like hour a day that sellers are saving on these things, but some, you know, minimum, I'd say 15 minutes a day for sure of, and I think that's a pretty low estimate of like being able to track data. And it is funny because we don't talk about all the extra things you get, but most leaders of sales organizations will tell you, my CRM isn't great. We don't even have all our customers in there. We're definitely not tracking the right activities and meetings and emails to tell me whether I'm winning or losing based on the number of those interactions. And so depends on the scenario, but I tend to be very confident to say, hey, minimum 15 minutes per seller per day. But that can even get nuanced and hard to quantify because it's like, okay, you're saving me 15 minutes of data entry or going to find data. But we know that when I switch applications, my productivity is 60 minutes or 60% done, and it takes me 10 to 15 minutes to get back into a good flow of work. Well, if we start counting that, now we're up to an hour a day where people are not only are they gaining productivity, but they're not losing the productivity, right? It's kind of this funny thing. We talk about productivity gains, but it's in two buckets. It's where am I being faster and where am I not being slowed down?
Right.
No, that's fantastic, Chris. And a couple of anecdotes for myself as a seller. There was a call that I missed because I was double booked and I needed to really get up to speed. I looked at the recording and was like, wow, this is 100 minutes long. Okay, do I have time for this? Even on 2X, that's 50 minutes of me really paying attention. With Copilot, I shortened that to maybe 10. I just asked it the right questions. And that is a skill that will come with understanding how to prompt Copilot. But it's as if I was there talking to a buddy who was on the call and knew all the answers of what, hey, summarize this call for me. What are the important things I need to know? What did they say about this issue, about this problem? And Copilot, using the transcript, put that information out there for me. It's huge. And then there was another call, a second anecdote. I was late to a call because, again, I was double booked. So I said, hey, Copilot, while I was in Teams, summarize this call up to this point. And within a couple of moments, I now am up to speed on what's going on, what's important, and it calls out exactly who said what. It's a huge time saver. So to your point of mentioning that productivity, I know that we don't have, let's say, human randomized control trials on something like this, but anecdotally, when you use it, it makes a tremendous amount of difference. That is my long-winded way of saying, for the Dynamics customers, that M365 Copilot component is what allows them to access it in Teams and Outlook. Is that correct understanding?
Yeah. And it's really interesting because it's like almost your super socially awkward nerd friend, right? Like the notes they put out is like, oh man, nobody really talks like that, but I know exactly what you're saying. And that gives me the human element, right? There's a lot of concern about, hey, where am I going to get cut out of the loop on this thing? Rest assured, we're quite a bit ways away from that. But it gives you that starting point, right? It's like, it's not bringing you to the finish line, but it's meeting you halfway through and saying, here's what we know. Here's where you could catch up. Here are the things. And, you know, one thing we haven't talked about that, and you could tell, I get so amped up about this because it's totally a different way in which salespeople work. Normally, salespeople have to go through 20 different things to like get the data, get the order done, and meet with their customer. We're consolidating that down significantly. But it also gives me the opportunity to listen back to a recording that I had with a customer and say, like, how was that? What did I miss? Because I was so focused on having an answer to this question, I might have missed something that they said. But yeah, it's really about understanding that work gets done in Outlook, in Teams, in M365 apps. It doesn't get done in CRM. CRM is simply where we house all the records and the data, right? And so it's this idea of give me the benefit of CRM, but don't make me go there all the time. It's like super unproductive, but it's super valuable. So we got this rub of like, hey, I want this where I work. I need the data that's in it, but I don't want to go to that thing all the time. It's like a headless CRM, right? Absolutely. And like, Kevin, that's a great example of like, hey, I can't listen to every meeting, but there's something in that meeting that I probably need to know about. Give me a recap. And it's right in that Teams experience again. So I just click on the meeting. I go to recap and there it is, right? And then you can have that same similar experience on an email. Hey, I just got thrown on an email that's 4 miles long. I'm not going to scroll all the way down to the bottom and be like, let's see. On February 1st, Kevin emailed Kenneth and said, do you want to get lunch today? Well, why am I on this email? Oh, while we're there, I have this question. I don't know. Let's bring in Carol. Hey, Carol, do you know, did Angela's? And it's like, you know, I'm wasting 10 minutes trying to just get to why I'm on this email. Well, Copilot will say, hey, here's what happened, and here's where you came in. Okay, now I'm at least more productive. I think it's quite revolutionary, right? And it's almost hard to believe that we have it available, right? It's like we're so used to working through that stuff that now that's not work anymore. We don't even have to deal with it. Just ask your Copilot for help.
Yeah. So I see that as a further democratization of access to data. That means if you're a seller or if you have some sales operations, whatever your role is, you can leverage generative AI technology to make your life easier in conjunction with the important business data. That said, one of the biggest concerns that I come across when I'm dealing with customers is security, governance, making sure that this person doesn't have access to data that they shouldn't, or somebody is not using Copilot in an inappropriate fashion. How are we as Microsoft ensuring that things don't go awry and Copilot goes off the rails and becomes the next Skynet?
Yeah. Well, and you know, like, so it is funny because I love Microsoft. I've worked at a variety of places. I tell people all the time, like, I love what we do. I love helping out these companies. I love the brands we help. You know, some of the big brands that we help are some of my favorite brands of all time. So they're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming out of this place. But there are nights that I say, are we building the next Skynet? Are we making reality out of these sci-fi movies that we see? But we're not, because we start, and there's reasons why. And I know it can seem concerning from the outside, but we have significant containership and control in place for just those reasons. We don't want to race ahead on the technology only to find out we should have been more careful on the back end. We start with being secure, built on trust, with complete control from the beginning. So every new thing we say, do we have full control? Can we containerize? Do we know that the access to that data is secure? Is it going out to the outside world? Because that's not acceptable, right? So those are the types of things that we really want to make sure we're on top of. And so, hey, let's be honest. A lot of organizations that are providers of software and AI and tools like this, they probably have a trust promise. But if you read through that trust promise and their security promise, it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that you can trust them to do what they say they'll do in that agreement, which means accessing your data, which means, hey, we think we have it under control and that's good enough for us. Where Microsoft says, these are the standards that governments and unions have set. We're going beyond that.
Right.
And we're making sure that no one gets access to that on yours. Right. And so it's a very difficult question to provide a concise answer to because it's very complex. Right. And so I won't get into all of the matrices and the reasons how we figure those things out. But I will say it's like, one, interact with Copilot for a little bit and you'll be a little bit more confident that it's not ready to take over the world quite yet. It is good at responding to the prompts that you as a human give it.
It's not Jarvis.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's a reason that's a movie and not reality is that, to build that would be incredible. But it is, and it's a valid claim. It's a valid concern for people to do it, right? And that's where we look to trust the experts. We have governing bodies that are outside of Microsoft, right? There's huge organizations that take a look at this. And then we also, it sounds odd too, but we partner up with competition who's also doing these things to have AI forums and saying, hey, if we're pioneering the way forward on this, what do we need to do and be aware of? And how are we going to ensure safety and avoid any of these things as best we can? So long-winded answer to say, a lot of work goes into that. We feel confident that we've built a platform that protects data, that and we monitor it too, right? Like part of our trust promises, we'll never access your internal deployments of our tools or your data. But there is a caveat when it comes to Copilot. If we get a signal from the Copilot that it's being badgered or that there's potential bad acting taking place on behalf of people in an organization that are trying to do something with Copilot other than what it was intended for, that's a time where we do kind of monitor and we capture that telemetry to say, okay, what's getting that flag? What's the tool's response to that? And how is it handling that? And how do we need to address or make sure that that organization's aware that we've built the right things around the product? So we also have some fail safes and safety checks in there as well.
No, I love it. So Chris, let me ask this. So everybody wants to know, what's going to be the cost and will the users of M365 Copilot need will the users of M365 Copilot in lieu of a D365 Copilot license, what will they need? How will they need it? How much does it cost? That's the key.
So there's a little bit of nuance in how we license it, and it depends a little bit on what you have. There's a component of Copilot for Sales that is the M365 capability. So the Copilot for M365 is a part of Copilot for Sales. So together, all up, there's one SKU that you can buy. It's $50. It's the Copilot for Sales premium SKU. Now, if you're part of an organization and they've already licensed Copilot for M365 for everyone, you don't have to buy that twice. We'll simply do the add-on portion of Copilot for Sales for an additional $20. So that gets you that same combined SKU. And so, if the organization says, hey, we're all in on Copilot, we've already got our Copilot for M365, that is a simple add-on. Now, you do not require a Dynamics license for that. There are Copilot for Sales capabilities that do exist in Dynamics products, but they're pretty standard, right? It's a very basic Outlook experience where you can capture data, surface data. Same with Teams, capture data, surface data. Now, when you buy the full premium one, it doesn't matter whether you have Dynamics or Salesforce. There's still that $50 SKU, and it gives you expanded assortment of capabilities into PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, Word, Teams, right? And it's a much more robust set of capabilities. And really the more special sauce, the magic sprinkles, the really good business value stuff. So, if you have Dynamics Sales Premium and you have Copilot for M365 already licensed, you have Copilot for Sales. So, if you have Dynamics Sales Premium and you do not have Copilot for M365, you only need to buy that component. So part of the value of our best offering of Dynamics 365 Sales Premium is that there is no additional Copilot for Sales upcharge, only to ensure that you have that Copilot for M365 licensing aspect of it. So a few different ways you can get there. By and large, it's all dependent on what you have in your stack. You know, Salesforce customers, that $50 SKU covers everything. Same thing. If a Salesforce customer has the Copilot for M365, then it's just an additional $20 layer on top.
No, that makes sense. It's, you know, it's a puzzle piece for sure, right? But it's something that the account teams and the commercial execs are really good at. And that's what we love them for. So, Chris, if you could give us just a little insight to what's coming in D365 for the coming year, some new advancements or anything special you want to throw out.
Yeah. So you're going to see Copilot everywhere, right? So not only can you buy Copilot for sales or Copilot for service, but you're going to see Copilot capabilities that exist in the Dynamics 365 apps across the board, right? So while you're in Dynamics, and I use that language, you can hear me kind of emphasizing it a little bit. I mean, I make sure I say Copilot in Dynamics. One, it helps me understand, it helps me keep it straight in my head, but it does paint the picture where you can chat with data. Hey, show me this type of data and this type of thing. Show me my opportunities that are at this stage with a close date of whatever. You don't have to come up with a query. You don't have to do advanced lookups. You just pull in that thing. So that's a big piece that we're going to try and push forward is that Copilot experience everywhere. And then additionally, we want to expand our AI capabilities. We want to make sure that we're continuing to offer innovation that are specific to each app. How do we use AI to help sellers find the next best action? How do we use it to help customer service people get better first case resolution, find knowledge management articles that are easier or more capable of solving the issue that the customer has, things like that. So that's where we're really headed. Continuous innovation, really starting to ramp up the AI capabilities so that we can make people faster. We can use that data to provide better customer experiences across the board, understand the customer journey and all of those things. That's what we're really looking for in the next year or two.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that, Chris. Yo, KJ started the call by introducing you as the CRM super freak, but I am now convinced that you are the Copilot super freak. So Chris, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. When new investments come, we definitely want to have you back on. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks guys. Really enjoyed it. Good to see you both.
Thank you for tuning in to Digestible Dynamics Podcast, a show for you, the innovators, with content directly from the experts. While we only cover one tidbit of Dynamics 365 per episode, if you want to learn more, head over to our LinkedIn page by searching for Digestible Dynamics on LinkedIn so that we can guide you to the right resource to help you maximize your Dynamics 365 experience. If you have any other questions, email your host, KJ and KG, at digestibledynamics@microsoft.com. Until next time, folks.